is Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's Daf is sponsored Refuah Shlema for Brindle Leah Bas Yehudas Ariella and Lila Nishmas Yisrael Dov Ben Yehuda Tzvi by Moshe and Debbie Weiss. So we were talking yesterday about this concept of a person who was married to a Muber's Chavero, Menechus Chavero. So the din was they had to get divorced. So Rabbi Meir said they have to get divorced and can't get married ever again. And Rabbi Chum said they get divorced, but they could get remarried when the right time comes. And then the Gemara was building up a question, and so we have a concept elsewhere that when it comes to a suffix by an Ashes Kohen, Ashes Yisrael, so we don't know if the child was a Nafel or not, it was a suffix. So by an Ashes Yisrael, we said, okay, let the wife, after she got married already, let her do a Chalitza, because Yisrael could remain married to a Chalutza. But if she's already married to a Kohen, and if she were to require Chalitza, because we don't know if the child was a Nafel or not a Nafel, we don't require Chalitza, so they could remain married. The question was, here, in this case, when it comes to the Muber's Chavero, we had a Shaila, what should be done in this case? So take a look at, let's just read the whole flow. Go back to Lam Nevav and Bey just for a second. We'll read through this quickly, just to get the flow here. Go up eight lines up, Amar Leir of Asha. Read through it quickly until we get to the punchline. There's going to be a Hasam, and then there's going to be a Hacha. So Hasam is a long-winded question to lead to the Hacha case. So Amar Leir of Asha, there of Hoshaya, Bred, there of Idi, Hasam over there, Tanabi the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Shesha, Ba'adam, Shloshim Yom, if a child is 30 days old, Eino Nefel, that certainly is considered a good Vlad Kayama, and would exempt the need for any Yibum, if that was the child of the Yivama. So there's no mitzvah of Yibum in that case. Halosha, if the child wasn't alive for 30 days, it died, got killed, something happened before, and we don't know if it would have been a Vakayama, then Sveikov, that's a Safik. Vitmar Meis Besoch Shloshim, the child dies within 30 days, V'amudav Niskadsha, and the mother of that child, who's the Yavama, goes ahead and gets married, so now we don't know if the child she really had, not a child and would require first the Chalitza from the Yavam, or maybe it was considered a good child, and she goes free, Lashuk, without anything. So she gets married after the Safek case. Ravina Mishmei the Rava Amar im Eishes Yisrael he chaletzes, just to be safe, let her do chalutz and remain married. Bim Eishes Kohen who ain't no chaletzes, she doesn't require chalutz. Now skip the next few lines because it's a bit confusing. Jump now to Daf Lamed Zayin because we read those yesterday. Now we're three lines down. Hacha here, however, in the case of Gave Meuberes Chavero Umeinekas Chavero Hanusul Kohen Mai, what's the din? So he said above that they have to get divorced. Machlok is whether she gets divorced and never marries again, or gets divorced and can get married at the right time. So what happens in this case if it's a Ashes Kohen? Now she married a Kohen. If they get divorced, they can never get married again. So we make a similar gzera or not. So mi avid rabbanan takanta lekohen alo. Did they make a takana for the Kohen or not? Look at Rashi, three lines down from the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph here. Of mi avid rabbanan takanta lekohen. The Alpha Gav Dili Yisrael Ba'inan Yotze Beget Achi Giyazmanu. Even though when a person marries a Menekas Chavero, Muberes Chavero, we make them get divorced and they could get remarried after 24 months after she weans the child. So Hussam over there, Lichshe Giyazmanu Matzi Lahadur. But after 24 months expired, they can get remarried. Havahacha here, when it comes to a Menekas Chavero who's a Kohen, if he divorces her, lo matzi mahadile, a Kohen cannot marry Grusha, not over even his own Grusha. Tiske b'afrasha ba'ama, maybe in this situation when Menekas Chavero is a Kohen, hafrasha, separation is enough, we don't require a get. So did they make a takana or not, avdinan krabanan, b'samchin avlad, or not, it's the shayla. So Gemara says, amrle, hachi hashta, let's understand this for a moment. Bishma hasam over there, we understand why. By the case of the child who died within 30 days, it's a case of a safik, we could be makel by an Ashes Kohen and not require chalitza. Why there? Bishma hasam came into Ika Rabbanan, the pliga aleh, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We only presented in the Gemara the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but there's the opinion of Chacham who argue that says, afa gav de lo shaha. Even if the child didn't make it to 30 days, it's still called a Vlad Malia Havia. And there's not even suffering at all. See, she certainly had a child, and she doesn't require Chalitza and can go get married. So there's no shy. So there is a Deya to rely on and not require Chalitza at all, so we can be makeup by an Ashes Kohen. So Gavi Ashes Kohen came into law Evsher, since it's not possible for them to get divorced, Chalitza rather, and stay married, we can rely on Rabbanan of Din and Krabbanan. So that exists because there's an opinion by the Shloshim Yom of a child, there's what to rely on. V'hach, here in the situation of Menekas Chavero, all the opinions we said, Gittin. The question was whether they could get remarried afterwards or not get remarried, but everyone said you require Gerishin, Hachal Kiman Navin, who could we rely on? Which day could be Somechon? Ikrabi Meir, Ha'amar Yotzi V'lo Yachzir Lomis. You get divorced, and they can never get remarried again, let alone even Ashes Yisrael. the ikra banana haomer baget. And if it's like a banana, they say you could get divorced and remarry later on, but they also require at least a get. So there's no one to rely on to not require a get in this case. And therefore, by menekas chaver, even if it's a kohen, the din is you require a gerushin, and they could never get remarried again, even according to the opinion of Rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, itmar. Kidsha besoch shlosha ubarach. So let's say they get married within 3. They did kedusha, not nisuin. He does kedusha. We know they're not supposed to get married within 3 months of the previous marriage. She dies or gets divorced from the previous husband. So you have to wait 3 months to distinguish who the father is. So let's say the guy does kedusha, but doesn't do nisuin. He marries her with the kedusha and runs away. Barach, he runs away. So now what happens? Pligi barav acha urafram. They have a machlokas amara and what to do here. We put him in excommunication because you can't do this. We said you can't get married within 3 days. Granted, we're talking about nisuin, but kedushin is the same idea. They can't get married. We force them to get divorced. So the iruke, the fact they ran away, helped support it. What does that mean? Rashi writes kitshu besoch shlosha shum almana ol grusha. He got married someone who just got recently divorced or widowed. Iruka mistaya, says Rashi, lo boy le michve lichtov get. We don't force him to give a get. Why? The galadaita de lo boy lichnos azmana. By the fact that he ran away, told us, it indicates that he doesn't want to marry her now. He wasn't doing the wrong thing. He wants to just kind of, reserve her. So he says, Kedushin, I'm out of here because we can't get married. I'll come back a month later. So that indicates that he's actually doing the right thing. So maybe he can stay engaged and eventually get married after 3 months expire. So the Gemara says, "Have uv." There's one to Maisa of Amar Lu Rafam. Rafam said, "Iruke mistai." Rafam said that the fact that he ran away supports his understanding that he can remain married to her because that's how we paskin. Fine. So now the Gemara says, "Safek ben Tisha." So this goes back to the mission in the beginning of the parak that we had this case of the chalitza of Muberis, and if what happened was that she was Muberis and it was a Vlad Kayam, and that we forced him to get the divorced. We're not sure if the child is 9 months from the first husband or 7 months from the second husband. That Vlad is kosher, the Gemara says, because even though we don't know who the father is, but certainly the father is kosher. It was from the first father, so great. If from the second father, that means the first father didn't have a child, and there's a mitzvah yibum, so that was also good. We just don't know who the father is, but he certainly is a kosher child. So now the Gemara says, Amar le Rav of Nachman, Lema, why don't we suggest, Halach Acha Rov Nashim? Rov Nashim Letisha Yaldin. Most women have a full term of 9 months. 7 months is very rare for women to have such a such a pregnancy. So let's assume she's a 9 month child, which would mean that this child is from the first husband, from the initial father, the initial husband. So Gemara says Amar Le Nishay Didan Leshiva Yaldin. He says back. Rav Nachman says because our daughters give birth in 7 months. That's how long it takes. So Amar Lei, Nishe Didcha, Havi Ruba Dalma, suddenly you're most of the world. Okay, Rav Nachman, happens to be your family's unique. You have children who give birth only after 7 months. But we're talking about the Misha, we're talking about for Klal Yisrael. Rov Olam don't have 7 month pregnancies. So very nice, you have that situation, but not for us. So we live in a world where 9 months is a normal pregnancy. So again, we should be somech that 9 months would indicate it's from the first husband. So Amar Lei, Hachi Kamina, this is what I mean to say. Rov Nashim Yaldan Letisha, granted, most women give birth after 9 months. Umiyat lishra shiva, and there is a minority that gives birth after 7 months. V'chol ha-yoledes letisha, every, now the word v'chol will change that in a second, v'chol, every single woman who's pregnant, she, chol ha-yoledes letisha, anyone who gives birth after 9 months, ubra nikar lishlish yameha, after the first trimester, the first third, it will certainly be recognizable that she's pregnant. Vizu, this case, since this particular woman, the in this case, the Yavama, the woman who lost her husband, she was not recognized as being pregnant. Israel Ruba, that now ruins the rove that give birth after 9 months, because every other woman who has a 9 month pregnancy is always recognizable after 3 months. So she wasn't recognizable, so that ruins the chazaka, the rove rather. The rove doesn't exist. And the worst, wait a second. Before we finish the statement, E. Kol, the word Kol, this Letitia, if every single woman who gives birth after 9 months, ubra nikar l'shlishameh, that the pregnancy will be recognizable after a third of her pregnancy, the first trimester, ha midolo hooker l'shlishameh, ubra, that since this woman, the Yavama, her pregnancy is recognizable, vadai bar shiva l'basahu, certainly she is a 7 month pregnancy she has, and she's the second husband. So the Gemara says, you're right. Not cold. Not every single 9 month woman is recognizable that she's pregnant after 3 months. Ela Ema Rova Hayoledes Letitia ubra nikar l'shishim. Most women who have a 9-month pregnancy, after 3 months, it's recognizable, but not every single one. V'hai midilo hukar l'shishim. Now, this particular woman, the Yavama, her pregnancy wasn't recognizable. Isay ruba, that now ruins the rove. We can match it up with the miyut who give birth after 7 months, and because of that, it does not become a very strong rove anymore. Again, rove women give birth after 9 months. That's why we wanted to say it was the first husband. And also, rove women are recognizable after 3 months of pregnancy. This woman was not recognizable after 3 months. So that might indicate, if since it wasn't recognizable, maybe she's a 7-month pregnancy woman. So now there's a suffix here, and that's why we can't rely on the rove. The rove has been weakened by virtue of the fact that after the first trimester, she was not recognizably pregnant. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan. Rishon, Rai Lehios Kohen Gadol, the first child that's born. Again, the case is, woman loses her husband, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven dies, and then she marries Shimon, the brother. So now the first child that she had, turned out she was Muberis. The first child is Kusher. Now we don't know whether the father was Reuven or Shimon, but that first child was certainly Kusher. He's so Kusher, he could be the Kohen Gadol. Even though we can't say Ben, his father, we call him Ben Avram Avinu perhaps. We can't say Ben Reuven, we can't say Ben Shimon. We don't know who he is, but if they're both Kohanim, he's right to be Kohen Gadol. The second child, however, after Shimon marries the Yavama, the second child, we don't know whether she's supposed to stay married or not. That second child is a Suffolk Mamzer. Why? Because if really the first child came from Reuven, that means Shimon cannot marry the Yavama. It's Usser. And now if it's Usser, any child is possibly a Mamzer, because maybe it's really the Anashia's Ach we're dealing with right now. So the first child, even though we don't know who the father is Roy Lios Kohen Gadol. The second child that is a Sheni is Mamzer Misafik. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, pay attention clearly now, ain Mamzer Misafik. He's not a Mamzer Misafik. We don't know what he is. The Gemara is going to clarify now. What is he then? My Kamar, what does he mean? Omer Baye Hachi Kamar. Rishon Roi Lios Kohen Gadol. The first one is certainly good to be Kohen Gadol. He's certainly a Kasher Yichus. Vesheni is a Safik Mamzer. Vaser B'Mamzeris, I'll say Vader. According to the Tanakhama, the second child is a Safik Mamzer. We don't know if he is or not. So he cannot marry a Yisrael because he might be a Mamzer. But he also can't marry a Vaday Mamzeris because he may be a Kasher person. So he's kind of stuck now. He's a Suffolk Mamzer. Rabbi Eliezer, and we'll add Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, ain't no Suffolk Mamzer, el a Vaday Mamzer. No, he's a Suffolk that we consider him as a Vaday Mamzer, and therefore he's actually Mutter ben Mamzeris. That's the din. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov will see how he knows this on Amud Beis, how a case of it really, Mithgar din, he's really a Suffolk. We don't know the status of the child, whether he's a Mamzer or not. But he takes it into a Suffolk Mamzer and transforms him into a Vade Mamzer. So that's the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, whether this Suffolk Mamzer remains a Suffolk Mamzer and really can't marry anybody, or we view him as a Vade Mamzer and he actually can marry a Mamzeris. So Gemara says that Rava Amar, Hachi, that's all Abai's understanding. Rava says no. Rava Amar, Hachi Kamar. Rishon, Roy Lios Kohen Gadol, Vesheni Mamzer, Vadai, Mi Suffolk, Umut be Mamzeris. He says no. Really, the Tanakama holds that this Mamzer is a Vadai. He's a Vadai that came from a Suffolk. And really, it's a Suffolk. We don't know who the father, we don't know whether or not she should get married to this guy or not. So it's a Suffolk Mamzer, but we treat him as a Vadai Mamzer, and therefore Mutter to Mamzers. That's the Tanakama, according to Rava. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, according to Rava's understanding, is Ein Vadai Mamzer mi Suffolk, El a Suffolk Mamzer vas Mamzers. He says, no, really, he's not a Vadai. He remains a Suffolk Mamzer and us be Mamzeris. In other words, they argue, Rav and Abai argue, who says which way. One of them holds he's a Suffolk Mamzer, one holds he's a Vadai Mamzer, and they both interpret this brisa differently. So Gemara says, ukumifically, they're arguing about Rebbe Elazar. Don't get confused with Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, this is Rebbe Elazar. Who's Rebbe Elazar? The Tzan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kedushin, the very end, the last parak, it says, Rebbe Elazar, Omer, Vadon bivadon mutter. If you have a Vadai Mamzer, he can marry a Vadai Mamzeris. Vadon b'sveikon, sveikon b'vadon, b'sveikon b'sveikon aser. But if it's a Suffolk Mamzer, he cannot marry a Vadai Mamzeris, because maybe this Mamzer is really Yisrael. So any Suffolk Vadai, Vadai Suffolk, Suffolk Suffolk, any type that's a doubt, you can't, they can't marry each other. Well, who's considered Suffolk? Ve'eluhain sveikon, shtuki, which is a situation whereby we know the mother, we don't know who the father is, and that's where Rashi says, it boasts in the Gemara, that when the son calls his father, father, the mother says, quiet, he's not your father. We don't know who your father is. That's shtukan. We don't know who the father is. Next case is Sufan, is Sufi, the person who, we don't know any of the parents, who's abandoned, left in the marketplace. We don't know who his father or mother is. That's a Suffolk case as well. Might be a mamzer. And the kusi also, we don't know kusi, the halachas, they don't really practice halacha so well, so we don't know whether the yichas are good yichas. These are three cases of safek, according to Rebbe Elazar. V'amar Rebbe Yehuda amar Rav, halacha, to Rebbe Elazar, that's how we paskin that a safek is, we don't view a safek as a vada, he remains a safek. Ki amrisa kamei d'shmu, when they said this in front of Shmuel, Amrili says, Hillel shona, Hillel taught, es asar yuchsin, alumi bavel, there are 10 different groupings that ascended from Bavel to make aliyah with Ezra. Kohane, Levi, Yisraeli, Chalali, Chalal, Geri, Gerim, Aruri, Shichre, which is an Eved Kanani that was a Meshuchra, Mamzerim, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi, Vukul, Mutarn, Lavozebazeh, they all can marry each other. It's not really can marry each other, they're actually groups that can marry each other. We'll look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Kulan, Mutarn, Zebazeh, Yarmis, Sveikan, Bevadai, Mutar, Vakoshan, Sveikan, Vesveikan, if you allow Suffolk to marry Vadai, Suffolk to Suffolk, that's how they can all marry each other. In other words, Kwanim Levim Yisrael Mutarim Zebazeh, they can marry within each other. Levim Yisrael Chalali Geri V'Charu V'Avadim U'Shecharim Mutarim Zebazeh, that grouping can also marry each other. Geri V'Charuri V'Mamzeri V'Nesina V'Shnuki V'Sufi Mutarim Zebazeh, the Kal Gerim Lo Mikre Kal. So this last case here, it's a Mamzer Vadai can marry a Suffolk Shnuki. So we see a Suffolk can marry with a Vadai. So although you taught earlier that only a Vadai Vadai can marry each other, but Suffolk can't marry Suffolk, here this clearly holds, according to Hillel, that Suffolk may marry a Suffolk, or Suffolk may marry a Vadai. V'at Amris, and you say halachas krabalazar, that only a Vadai Vadai is allowed, but a Suffolk isn't allowed? So Abai Savar la kishmuel dam halacha kihillel. So Abai holds like Shmuel, who holds like Hillel, that allows a Suffolk to marry a Suffolk. Umoki la, and therefore he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Aliba de Hilchasa, Kechadol Tikshri Hilchasa Hilchasa. And that's why above, Abai had to interpret the Brisa that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov viewed a Suffolk as a Vadai, meaning a Suffolk can marry another Suffolk. That is consistent with his understanding of holding like Hillel, that Shtuki can marry a Sufi, and so on. That's all consistent. That's why he interpreted the Brisa above. Rava, however, Rava Savala Kurav, Dama Kurab Elazar, that no, only a Vadai Mamzer can marry Vadai Mamzeris, but Suffolk cannot marry Suffolk Mamzer, because we don't view Suffolk as Vadai. So since he took that interpretation, Rebbe Elazar, he therefore had to make the Brice above, Milki La, Le Rebbe Elazar Bar Yaakov, who held that no, the Mamzer remains a Suffolk Mamzer, not a Vadai, so that Hilchasa, so Alibi de Hilchasa, Kechdelo Tiksha Hilchasa, Hilchasa. In other words, their interpretation of the Brisa depended on how they paskin the Gabe case of Suffolk. Just to make everything clear, in the end of the day, there's machlokas whether a Suffolk Mamzer becomes a Vade Mamzer or not a Vade Mamzer. It's based on whether you paskin like Hillel or you paskin like Rebbe Elazar, and that Talacha you paskin will then dictate how to interpret it. What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in the previous brisa, whether he is suffik kivadai or a suffik remains a suffik. So now the Gemara.
They all agree that suffik is suffik is mutter, no matter what it is.
No, they don't, because the question whether or not suffik is viewed is we consider as a vada. If you view suffik as a vadai, then they can marry each other. But a suffik and a suffik, it remains a suffik. They can, because maybe this one's a mamzer, that one's a yisrael. Maybe this one's a yisrael, that's a mamzeris.
And what about within the same suffik also not?
Also not, because each family is a different situation.
Like no,
that Suffolk Mamzer is different than that Suffolk Mamzer, even though they're called the same thing, but the relationships are different how they came. You can still have that one be Yisrael, that one be a Mamzeris. Only if you view a Suffolk as considered to be a Vandai, then we could have them intermarry.
So, if you view it that way,
the children, the children would still consider Mamzer. If it's a Suffolk, then the children are Suffolk Mamzer. But if you view Suffolk Mamzer as a Vade Mamzer, and they can marry another Vade Mamzeris, that's allowed, because but the children will all be mamzer.
The one that said a ger could marry a mamzer?
There's one opinion about that, because Rashi pointed out that a ger is not called ikre kal.
Right.
They don't have to preserve the kedusha of a kal.
What would their kids be, a ger man?
I don't remember what the Gemara says, I forget. Okay. So now the Gemara writes on the top of Lamed Zayin Beis, Amar Abaye writes, how do I know? Dechol Sveika, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is considered kivadei mashvilei. What's the source? How does he have a proof that in fact every suffik, at least by this cases, these cases, it's turned into a vadai? The Tani, the Brisa says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer harei sheba al nashim harbe. The person is ba and many women. The ein yodei al eizem em ba. Wasn't sure who he made pregnant, to who exactly, so many women he couldn't keep track of them. Or alternatively, v'chein he, or if a woman sheba ale anashim harbe, or she was with many different men, v'niyodas meizem hen kibla, which Rashi is who she received, who she became pregnant from, she wasn't sure who the father was, So this is a terrible thing, of course, for many reasons. Nimsa'av no says bito. If no one knows who the mothers, who the fathers are, you could have a father end up marrying a daughter. V'yachno says achosa, brother marrying a sister. V'nismalek kol ha'olam kulam mamzerim. The whole world is going to be filled mamzerim. People don't keep track of who they're, you know, who they're with. V'alzeh nemar umalar to zima. The world will be full of zima. So this is somehow proof that they're all kol mamzerim. Rashi writes, v'nismalek kol, two lines down, v'nismalek kol ha'olam kulam mamzerim. Me'safek Carly Mamzerim, even though there's just a suffix, we don't know bevadai a brother's marrying a sister or a father's marrying a daughter, but because it's such a terrible thing, we consider the suffix as it's mamish vada mamzerim, and that was the proof according to Rabbi Lozer, according to Abaye. The Gemara then says, Rav responds back, no, you know what zima means? Amalcha hachi kamar, zu mahi. Says Rashi, zu mahi is a lashon suffix. We view these children as a suffix, but not as a vadai. So this machlokus, Rav and Abaye helped interpret this line of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov connects back to the previous discussion, how Rav and Abaye take the positions of a suffix, is it kevadai, or a suffix is not kevadai. Rav says, it remains a suffix, zumahi, we don't know. And Abaye says, no, the mamish mamzerim, the suffix is kevadai. So now the Gemara just continues to quote the rest of the Braisa, it's connected, but not directly to the sugi we've been discussing up until now. Gemara says, yes, Al-Kain, furthermore, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, lo yisa adam isha b'midina zu, a person should not marry a woman in China, another woman in the United States, let's say. Why? Because Shema Yizdavgu Zelaze. Maybe they don't know who the Yichus is in other halves of the world. Maybe that the guy from China and the girl from America will meet each other, get married, and not know who their fathers are because they're so far away. The types of communications they had back then were not so clear. So don't do this. If you have two wives, make sure that they're close enough so everyone knows who the siblings are. So Gemara says, "Ain't is that really true? You shouldn't marry women in different medina, different countries." For her, Rav, ki ikle lidar dasher, when he visited such a city, Machaz, he made the announcement. V'amar, we saw this in the Gemara in Yuma as well. Man havya liyoma, who wants to marry Rav? Rav's coming to town. Who wants to be his wife? Rav Nachman, ki ikle lishach shinchintiv, when he went to this city, Machaz, v'amar man havya liyoma, who wants to marry Rav Nachman? And they would do this in every city they would go travel to, have another wife. They had multiple wives, it seems. And isn't this in different medinos? So Gemara answers, no, shiny rabbanon, the p'kiya shemai, when a rabbi comes to town, he gets married, everybody knows who he's marrying, everybody knows his child. That child, as Rashi says, will be called the daughter of Rav Nachman, the son of Rav. Everyone will know. It will be impossible for a brother and sister on other ends of the world to marry each other not knowing who their fathers are. So Gemara then says, how could that even be? How is it possible that a tzaddik could come to a city and get married immediately? Isn't there a concept of Bahama Rava, Tavoli Nase, this Paisa, Trichaleshev Shivanakim? The halacha is that when a woman gets proposed to get married, they get very excited, and that excitement causes her to become a nida. So you need to now count Shivanakim to make sure that she's clean. So a man can't come to a city and find the wife and get married that day. There has to be a certain time. You have to wait. So Gemara says, no, Rabbanan Shluchayu have a Meshadre, Umodelehu, they would send the Shliach a couple weeks earlier. So she gets excited, Rav Nachman's coming to town, and then you have the Shivanakim. By the time he gets there, they're mutter to be with each other. Ibais Ema, alternatively, the Gemara suggests, the Rabbanan, Yehuda Ba'amahu Demiachdele. They wouldn't have Bia, they'd simply have Yichud, and that's all. Yichud was allowed, nothing more than that. Damar Mar, as long as he knows he has a wife, even though Lamaisa Tashvish would be answer because she has weight Shivanakim, but the fact that he has a wife to do Yichud, which itself is also complicated because you can't really have Yichud with your own wife if you never were Bala, the Chuppas Nida, we don't allow them to remain in Yichud until she's a Tower, but whatever, that's a side point for now. Either way, all they have was Yichud, and there's no Chashash of the Shivanakim. So now the Gemara says, Tana. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, another statement in his name related to relationships. Lo yisa adam ishto v'dayta l'garsha. A person should never marry a woman with the intent of divorcing her. It's a terrible thing. Aside from the pasuk, it's just a terrible derech eret, obviously, but the pasuk tells us, mishum shenemar, it says the pasuk appears in Mishlei, al tacherosh areecha ra'a v'yoshe levetach itach. Somehow this pasuk says, don't plow over your friend. It's a terrible way to treat any human being, a terrible way to treat a woman. It's not something a person should do. Fine. So now it gets a little bit complicated. Gemara now says, I'm talking a lot about who the child was in that Mishnah, whether the child was from the first husband or the second husband. We don't know who he was. So he's called the case of a suffix. Who was his father? Was the father the Ish, rather, or was he a child of the Yavam? What happens is now, suffix v'yavam, shebo lachlok b'nichse misna. So now, Reuven was the one who died. Shimon is the Yavam, the brother. So now there's a child, there's a Ben. We don't know if he's the son of Reuven or the son of Shimon. So now this child says, so he's debating with his uncle or maybe his father. We don't know who he is. He's debating with Shimon, who has rights to Reuven's property. So Safek, who's the child, the Yavam, Shimon, the brother, Shebo Lachlok B'Nichse Misa. They want to divide the property of the mace, the property of Reuven, who's dead now. Safek Amar, the child who's a Safek status, we don't know what he said, Amar. He said, Ana Bar Misna, who I am the child of Reuven. I'm Ben Reuven, and the property of Nichse Didihu. It's all mine. The son has first rights to Yerusha over a brother, so he should get the entire property. That's what the child says. That's what the Safek says. The Yavan Amar, the brother, Shimon, says, no, At Bar Didi, you're my child. What are you talking about? You're mine. V'les Lecha V'lomida. You don't have any Shaykhs here. You're the nephew of Reuven. I'm the brother. I get everything. You get nothing. So that's an interesting debate. So Gemara says, Have Mamon Hamuta Basafik. Hamamon Hamuta Basafik Chalkim. So this is a money that's placed in doubt. And when it's a money Basafik, we divide. We do Chalkim. Now the Gemara says, not really true. The Rashi says, that's not true. We don't pass in that way. We say, Hamotzi Mechavel HaRafaraya. So Rashi says, you're right. That's only when a person has a certain chazaka. But look at Rashi writes to explain this. Rashi says, around 8 narrow lines down, Mamon Hamuta Basafik, She'ein Ze Muchsak Ze Yosemi Ze. Neither one has a more of a chazaka over the other one. Dimze ben hames ein liavam behen klum. If the father, the son, is the son of the Reuven, then Shimon has no chelik at all. Vim ben hayavam, if he's a child of Shimon, then who ain lo? He has nothing ben klum, and it all goes to Shimon. Hilgach ein kamotzi mechaver elir halav haraya. It's not the same situation here, because only when both people have a chazaka equally at the same time. But here it's either all his or all his. It's not both at the same time, and we can't invoke hamotzi mechaver elir haraya. We therefore have to rely on hamam and muta basafik. How can we divide it equally? Next case, Gemara says two white lines down, the last word in the line safik ubnei yavam. Now you have the children of Shimon, they're the Bnei Yavam, who are debating with the Suffolk child. We don't know if the Suffolk child is one of the brothers, he's a child of Shimon as well, or maybe he's a child of Reuven. Now, if he's a child of Reuven, he gets everything now. If he's, however, the brother of the child of Shimon, he has to divide the property with the other brothers as well. So the Gemara says, the Suffolk, Ubnei Yavam, Shabo Lachlok B'Nichse Misa. They're coming to divide the property of Reuven. So now it's the situation where Shimon dies. Shimon's out of the picture, I guess, because he can't divide it. So now, again, the Ben, the Safik, is Machlokis with the Bnei Yavam. Safik Amar, Hahu Gavra, that person referring to himself, Bar Misahu, I am the son of the deceased. It's all my property. V'nich Seidi Dehi, it's all mine. Bnei Yavam Amri, no, At Achenuat, you are our brother. You're Bnei Shimon, V'mansahu De'islecha, you have a chelek in it, B'hadan, along with us, but not more than what we have. So that's the debate. So Savar Rabbanan Kame Dir of Misharsha, Lameba, they wanted to initially say, it's a Masnizi, it's a Mishnah, but it's the opposite of this Mishnah. What does that mean? Who Eino Yorish Osam Vehem Yorshin Oso Bahacha Ik Ibcha. But here's different. What does that mean? So what's the case here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here. Rashi says, look at Safik Bnei Yavam. Rashi writes, Hasafik Muchsak Ben Yoser. The Safik has certainly a stronger hold than the other brothers, because Bimanavshach is a Zechiyah B'Gavah. He certainly has a Chelik. Either he comes because of Reuven, it's all his, or he comes to Bnei Shimon and he divides it, but he certainly has a Chelik in the property here. About Bnei Yavam, the Bnei Shimon, Shema Ein Lam Chelik Bem, maybe they have no Chelik at all. Shezeb Ben Rishon, because maybe the Safik is really the child of Reuven and he gets everything, and they get nothing, V'Kul Shalom. For that reason, Savar Rabbanan Lememer, they wanted to initially suggest Masnisin Meperk Nosin Ala Nusin, the name of the Perk. The Katani Safik Ben Teishel Rishon, Safik Ben Shiva. We don't know if the child is from the first marriage or the second marriage. Lachon, who, Lo Yorish, O son, he can't be Yorish of the Bnei Rishon, nor of the Bnei Sheni. Let's say it's a case where Reuven has many children, and Shimon has many children. He wants to divide with either one. Bnei Reuven says, you're not ours, you're part of Bnei Shimon. Bnei Shimon says, you're not one of our brothers, you're part of Bnei Reuven. And no matter how he slices it, he gets pushed off. He gets nothing in that case. That's a situation where the Safik gets zero. But that's by this case. In this case, it's the opposite, because there he has no vaday chelik in anything. But in this case, he vaday does have. So here he has a stronghold. So over there, by that mishnah, he gets zero. Here he should get something. So says the Gemara again. Savor Rabbanan Kamei Derav Shar Shulamei Mar Masisin. It's really a mishnah this time. The mishnah tells us in Maseches in our Masech the Daf Kuf. Who Eino Yorish Osam Vehim Yorish Oso. He, when he's a Safik, he cannot Yorish with Bnei Reuven nor with Bnei Shimon. But they. If he dies, then they can Yorish, because at least can divide between Bnei Reuven and Bnei Shimon. So there he gets zero to be Yorish. However, here Ipcha, it's the opposite, where he definitely gets something. Hasim over there, continuing the conversation, Amri, we say Lay, they say to him over there by the Mishnah, where he's a Suffolk, we don't know whether he's part of Bnei Reuven or Bnei Shimon. Amri Lay, both say, Aishirai of Ashaka Hacha, Ashaka. Each one said, Reuven said, Bnei Reuven said, you want to be, you take with our chelik, prove that you're Bnei Reuven. Bnei Shimon said, you want to collect with us, prove that you're Bnei Shimon. Either way, he gets stuck, he gets nothing. That's over there. But Hacha here, in this case, Amar Lehu, he says to them, the suffix says to them, I see Raya, Bishaklu, it's really mine. I certainly have the zechus here. It's certainly mine, either because I'm Bnei Reuven or Bnei Shimon. You want to take from my property? You prove it to me. It's the burden of proof is upon you. So here he certainly collects. That was the initial suggestion. But then the Gemara says, Amar Lehu Rav Misharsha, Mi Dami, could you compare the cases? Hasam over there, by the case of Eini Yorish, Inhu, Vadai, Vihu Safek, there, Vadai, Bnei Reuven are certainly the children of Reuven, Bnei Shimon are definitely the children of Bnei Shimon, Ehu Safek, he's a case of Safek. Hacha, here, however, Edi Safek, here, even the Safek's a Safek. In other words, yes, Vadai, he's got a Chelek in it, but he doesn't know whether he's Ben Reuven or Ben Shimon. So it's not comparable. Again, the Kemish over there was Vadai children versus the Safek. Here, everyone's a Safek here. The child is a Safek, we don't know who the father is, and the other one's a Safek, we don't know whether they should be a Chelek. So it's not comparable. Ella, idami lemasisi, if you want to compare it to Mishnah, lahadami, compare it to the following. Safek uvnei yavam shabo lachlok binichse yavan gufei. So that's the question. Not where they're dividing about Reuven's property, the mace, but they're dividing the Yavam's property. There, hasim amrile, they say, aisi raya dachunat v'shakav. That case, where Bnei Shimon are certainly Bnei Shimon, their vadai situation. So then Bnei Shimon says, you want to collect within our father, with the Yavam's property, bring us a proof that you're one of our brothers, and you're not a part of Bnei Shimon, Bnei Reuven rather. So that's a more comparable case. Okay. Next, Gemara says as follows, a bit tricky, I told you. It says, Safek uvnei Yavam, the Safek, we don't know the child's status, and the children of Yavam, we're calling Shimon, Shabo lachlok benichse Yavam, they want to collect from the property of Yavam, but le basar after depalig Yavam benichse misne. So now, what happened was Reuven died. Shimon ended up dividing the property with the Safek child. Right? So Shimon has half of Reuven's property, and the child has a half of Reuven's property as well. Now, Shimon dies. And now, the Safek is now debating with Bnei Shimon, who collects from the Yavam now. So on one hand, the Safek is trying to play both sides here. He first claims he's the son of Reuven, that's why he gets half the property. But now he wants to claim he's also the son of Shimon. He wants to divide amongst the children of Shimon. Which one are you? Who are you? Who are you part of? So that's the interesting debate here. So the Gemara says, the Machlokas here is as follows. Bnei Yavam say to him, the Bnei Shimon say, Amru Aisi Raya Dachunat. It proved to us that you're a brother, that you're the child of Shimon as well. Vashacha, then we'll let you take. Amru, he says, Safik. Safik says to him, Manav Shaychu, Mimanav Shach. Iachunan Ana, if I'm your brother, Havalu Minsa Badaychu, give me some property. Vibar Misna Ana, if I'm the son of Reuven, then Havali Paga the Paliga Avuchan Mahadai, then give me the half of the property that your father took, because that really should be my property. So Amr said, Rabbi Abba, so now we need an important line in Rashi to say what's going on here. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Iachuchan Ana, Havalu Mansa Gavaychu. If I'm your brother, I should divide amongst you. Vimishim, wait a second, but didn't he already take from his father Reuven? You can't take both sides. You can't say you're the son of Reuven, now you're the son of Shimon. So Rashi points out something very important here. Vimashim deshakli on. If you're going to say, oh, because I already took palgo benichse misse, already took half the property from Reuven, I can't now claim I'm a son of Shimon. Mahadrina lachu, I'll return it back. I'll return the half of the property I took from my father Reuven, who's not my father anymore. I'm assuming he's not. Ho palgo, let me divide it. Benachluka kobashava, let's divide amongst each other and really put it part of the property of Shimon. Why would you want to do that? So Rashi points out is because kagon shayu nichsei hayavam merubin vav muatim. His father Reuven's property is very little. So it's worth me putting the money back from my father Reuven and claim I'm part of Shimon's property, who has a much larger Yerusha, and divide amongst the brothers. That was the suggestion. So he's trying to undo what happened initially. So now the question we're about to see is he able to undo the initial fact he got that he was Reuven's child? They said, no, I don't want to be Reuven's child anymore. Let's reverse that. I'm really Shimon's child. Can he do that? Can you reverse the Din Torah? So the Gemara says, now this is what's going on here. Reb Abba Amar Rav Kam Dina. Rav said, no, Kam Dina. The Dina was established. You can't undo it. You already said you were the child of Reuven. That's set forever. You cannot now collect amongst Bnei Shimon of Shimon's property. Reb Yirmiyah Amar Hadar Dina. You can reverse the initial Din and throw the money back in from Reuven into the pot. And now you can claim you're actually Bnei Shimon. That's the answer to the Gemara. So let's go a little bit further now. I know it's a long daf today. The Gemara says, Lema. Let's suggest that they are arguing about the same exact machlokas that we find by Admon and Rabbanim. What's that machlokas? It's not the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Ksubos. Mishahalach midinas hayam, a person travels overseas, v'avdil lo derech, by the time he returns back, he lost his path to sadayu. He was a guy, his field was surrounded by four sides by other people. And he used to have a path to go from the outside to get to his field, which was in the center of many fields. By the time he gets back, somehow someone closed off the entranceway, closed off the path. He forgot which direction it came from. It was so long, he doesn't remember. So what's he supposed to do now? So Admon Amar Yelech Beksar, take the shortest path from the street to your property. You're allowed to do that. Chacham Omrim, Yikach Lo Derech B'Meya Mana, pay for it $100, or Yafriach B'Avir, or try flying over it. You have no tainas, you lost your path, and your field is stuck in the middle. Nothing you could do about it. Havinam Balar Abanan, Shapir Kamri Admon. So Admon said the right thing. I'm Rav Yehuda. What's the case here? I'm a Rav Halcha B'Maya Skinim Kigon She Kifua Arba B'Nei Adam Me'ar Beruchas. It's a situation where four different people own it. So each one says, it wasn't my side, it was that guy's side. It wasn't my side, it was his side. And each person can put him off. He has no Fadei Taina. So that's why the guy's stuck here. So Ihachi, that's the case. Those Rabbanim say good. They say well. That's why you have to buy your proper path, otherwise you're stuck. Because each person could push you off to the next side. So my time with the Adman, how come Adman lets you take the Derech Katara? So Amar Rava, Rava says no. It's Barba Das Mikach Arba. If it's four different people who bought property from four original owners, Varba Das Mikach Chad, or four who bought from one person, Kuli Amalo Pligi De Matsi Marchali. Everybody agrees you could push him off. You could push him off from one side to the next side. Because each person could say, it wasn't my property, it was that guy's property, fine. When is there Machlokas? Ki pligi bechad das mikach arba, where one guy owns all four directions, but he initially bought it from four different guys. So when initially the guy before he left the Midas Hayam, four different owners or four different sides, but that those four guys sold it to the same owner. There's one guy over there, surrounding you. So now I've got a claim on you now, because certainly I need to go get to your property. Whether you own the east, the north, the west, the south, certainly there's a tsar that was mine. There's the path that was mine. Give me something. That's Admon's claim here. So the Gemara says again, "Ki pligi bechad das mikach arba." Admon Sav Admon says, "Mati amar lei mekomakom darchi v'gavir uchu." Whether it was north, south, east, west, certainly I had a path in one of the properties that you currently own. Give me something. That's Admon's understanding. But Rabban Sav, right? No, amar lei. The owner says, "Ishaski shaski." You want to stay quiet? Stay quiet. Because if you don't stay quiet, look what I'm going to do. Ilo mahadrina shtar lemarai. I'm going to reverse my initial sale to the first four owners, and once you're dealing with four owners, each one pushes you off to this guy, to that guy, to that guy, and then you have no claim at all. So just stay silent now. You have no claim. You could go back. In other words, I'm allowed to reverse back to the initial ownership. You can't deal with me. So says the Gemara, Lema, Reb Abba, Damer Kraban. Reb Abba is the one who says that Kam Dina, the Dina remains final. In other words, that, how do we line this up again? One more second. How we line it up? Hope I didn't lose you guys. Again, Rabbi Abba says that you're a banan who says you have no path, you're kind of stuck, you have to fly over, pay a lot of money for it, because the din is final, and even though the situation has changed from before, currently, in the end of the day, right now, you have no current taina. You can be chozer, you can't go back to the original taina. Rabbi Yirmiya, who held you can reverse a din tover, he holds like Admon that says you don't lose your zechus, and the zechus you always had, it always remains there present. So we're able to look back at the previous din that you once upon a time had a taina. So that's what the Gemara suggests. So we're going to stop here because it goes deep into the next stop, but Mir Hashem will review this again, and we'll go through how this lines up in Mir Hashem tomorrow.
Is that the taina that you can say, I'm going to reverse the sale? I mean, the guy has interest.